Okay. Thank you guys for leading us in a time of worship. Appreciate the thoughts that were shared. And okay, today we are going to take some time to work towards the Mid-Autumn Festival. So we're going to sing a song. It's a Chinese song, and we're going to try it later. So we won't be going to our groups. I'm just going to give the Lord's Word, and after that, we will take a bit of time to practice together, and after that, we will go down and celebrate this month's birthday, okay? And so if you have any questions along the way, more than happy to interact with you. Okay, it's a very nice, joyful song. Okay, and I think it's good to reflect to everyone who's there that our faith is one that is truly of joy, and we want to be able to appreciate God for all the joy and blessings that He gives to us. Okay, so that's something that we can look forward to. Now, let's review a little bit. In fact, before we actually even review, see, we're going to go into our 46th year of ministry, and I think it's appropriate for us at this point in time, even as we enter into the new year, to ask ourselves, how much have we really grown and progressed? Okay? Let's turn to Philippians 1, just by way of review a little bit. And in Philippians 1, we read in verse 25, being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Right? So this is something that we want to appreciate. That, you know, are we progressing? Progress of joy and faith. Well, later on when we sing, we must have this sense of joy. Because it's a joyful song. You can't possibly sing a joyful song without joy. Right? That will be a bit of a mismatch there. But we want to ask ourselves, how much have we really progressed, right? We are now in September, just 4 more months before 2018 is gone, and we enter into 2019. And then before you know it, it's 2020. I just can't imagine it's going to be 2020. I mean, previously, I was thinking, huh? Yeah, 2019, then 2020. I know. It's before, after 2019 is what? 2020, right? That's what I meant, okay? Okay, right? And, you know, it's just, time is just passing on, you see? And we ask ourselves, how much have we really grown? Right? Previously, you were thinking, wow, the year 2000, crossing the millennium, and you know, so many interesting things. And before you know it, my goodness, it's 20 years later already. That's how I'm thinking ahead, not that it's 20 years already. But you know, how much have we really progressed, you see? Because if we have a faith that does not grow, you know, we will end up with a faith that is gross. Right? I mean, if you were to evaluate your faith and it's not growing, then, you know, how would you describe that faith? Right? I've been waiting whole afternoon to say. And you know, But seriously, I think it's something we really want to think about. You know, how much have we really progressed? How much have we progressed in terms of joy? How much have we really progressed in terms of faith? So that's something for us to think about, and you do want to take a bit of time as we start our new year of ministry to really think about, you know, let's look forward to progressing so much more. Let's really go forward, right? Last week we learned about how we should look back at all these things that was once so-called gain, and yet they are considered to be loss. So I appreciate what Jared was sharing. You know, sometimes we can be caught up with ourselves and the pride is there. And you know, what's that all about? End of the day, what are all these successes? You know, so Pastor was just sharing with us about someone who, you know, he was a well-known person in the context of Singapore, in the medical field. But you know, at the end of his, when he's so much older now and he's not well, you know what? Nobody comes to see him. So you may have all the successes in life, but as we look at the realities of life, and as you look at how when we grow much older and, you know, all the fame and all the successes comes to really absolutely nothing. So why are we fighting so hard for all these things? When you know that at the end of the day, it's not really going to come to very much really in life. So what is it that we really want to look for in life? What is it that is true gain in life? And it's about Christ. It's about the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And to me, that is so important. Truly, it's something for us to think about and to consider this afternoon. Well, let's continue with Philippians 2. Philippians 3. And now, we want to continue to look at this whole idea of faith, okay? Right, so we talk about how these things were gained to me. Verse 7, these are counted loss for Christ. Right? Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. So all these things are seen as loss and counted as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Now, let's try and understand what that means. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, let's try and appreciate this a little bit. See, one of the things that we want to understand about what Paul is writing about is that he's not just talking about faith in theory. He's not talking about something that is mechanical, it's just knowledge. He is talking about real-life faith. It is something that is real to him. It is something that is actual. He's not just talking about concept. It is actual. It is real. It is applied. And so he talks about being found in him. Right? Now, this idea of that I may, so this is his purpose, that I may gain Christ, right? And be found in him. So they are together, actually. This is what we call the aorist subjunctive, right? With that. So what that means is that there is a sense of strong purpose here. Right? So we talk about, okay, Sherman was talking about, you know, what he used to chase after and what he was looking for. You know, if he had continued that lifestyle, we have seen him in the movie, you know, Crazy Rich Asians and things like that. But aren't you glad you're not in the movie and you're here in YAG and, you know, it's just... But, you know, we all look at all these things and, you know, what's that? People see it as gain, but now we see, you know what? That's loss. That's rubbish. That's really nothing at all. Why? So when we have this kind of perspective of life, there is a purpose. It's not just trying to see things differently or just trying to have a so-called Christian concept. It is with purpose in mind. And that purpose is that it is all about Christ. It is, we do this, we have this purpose, and that purpose becomes part of our life, how we see as a understanding of our life or philosophy of life, so that we have this sense of purpose. This purpose to gain Christ and to be found in Him. That's what it's all about. And unless we move away from these things and count it as loss, then it's very hard to go beyond a certain level. Because if we are still caught up with all these things, that it's not going to go very far. But that we will move away from this and we will have this purpose. And that is to gain Christ. And that to be found in Him. Right? And to me, this is wonderful. To be found in Christ, to be in the sphere of Christ, to be in, and also it's like a locale. This is what we call the locative idea. It is with being in Christ. Right? So it's really in being in the spiritual realm of Christ. It's not about physical, it's not about being mechanical, it's not even religious. It is about being in the spiritual realm of who Christ is, and that is our gain. That is what we want to see as a true profit of life. What is our purpose in life? What is it that we are really looking for? Okay? Now, in verse 8, he goes on to say, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Now, that is what he was really trying to describe so very much in chapter 3 at the beginning and all, and saying, you know what? This is the righteousness that I pursued once before. And that is something that is now to me all considered as loss. You know, I put in so much effort, so much energy, so much of my life. But you know what? That is all gone. What is that to me now? Nothing. It is rubbish. I don't know whether you consider, you know, things before and you say that, you know, I put in so much effort in this and then nothing really comes out of it. At the end of the day, it may be something to others, but to you, it's really nothing at all. Because it's of no real use when it comes to the spiritual realm. When it comes to the spiritual realm of Christ, what is that to us? Nothing. So Paul was trying to say, you know, all these things, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Now, he's really talking about basic salvation here. Be found in Christ, that I would have this salvation. Right? And it's not of the righteousness of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So he's really talking about how there is this idea of... So he is a very strong contrast. The word but there is where we use... I mean, Paul uses the word Allah, and it is really a very strong contrast. There are other words that can be translated as but he uses a stronger word. He's trying to emphasize this huge contrast that he's talking about. That which is through faith in Christ. Now, there's a difference between through faith in Christ and the idea of having, okay, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness, which is from God by faith. Now, there's a difference here that I'd like to explain to you, right? But that which is through faith in Christ. So that is really about salvation. So it's through faith in Christ that I would receive this salvation, that I will find the kind of righteousness that is not of the law, but it is something that is through Christ. which is where you get this word DR, which is, you know, is through Christ. So we are in Christ, okay? It is in Christ, right? And then in Christ is through Christ that we will be able to have salvation. Okay? So that's the first part. This is really about salvation. And that is the kind of righteousness that we want to be able to have. So we thank God. We thank God for the kind of salvation that we have received. And that is through this salvation that we will be able to be saved. You know, this week, Pastor was just sharing with us about grace and mercy and about the kind of forgiveness that the Lord gives to us. And he was trying to explain to us the differences between transgression, iniquity, and sin. And I thought that was a very interesting perspective. The idea of transgression is that when you cross the line, you transgress. Okay? Sin is something that it is a sin of omission. You don't do anything. You don't do it. So because you don't do it, it is sin. You know? The idea of iniquity is the idea of that which is hidden. So it's something that is hidden within. Now in Psalm 32, there's this phrase that says the iniquity of sin. And you know, that is something that is so much more, you know, so when you don't do that which is required, within sin, that this iniquity that is deep down within, there is an evil within that sin that is considered as iniquity. So you realize that sin is far more deep, far more complex than you tend to think it is. So when you ask for forgiveness and you say, Lord, just forgive me of my sins, you don't even fully understand what that means. Because there's a far more deeper concern when you talk about sin. So when you ask for forgiveness, when you look at this salvation that the Lord has given to us, it is a salvation that is complete. When we are in Christ, it is through Christ that we have received the salvation that all our sins, they are forgiven. They are pardoned. Well, that's something that we want to think about as we, you know, tomorrow, and we'll be studying Psalm 25 a little bit more. But this is something that we want to consider, the salvation that God has given to us. Okay, so that is the idea of through salvation. Now, let's look at this next part, which is, any questions? Okay. Now, then he goes on to say, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And by faith is the next part. Now, this word by faith, right, is this idea of epi. Okay. Epi te piste, okay? Now, what this means, epi means on, okay? So, it is on the basis of faith. So, when we look at salvation, salvation is not the end of it, right? So we talk about VR through Christ. Now, this is, or through faith in Christ. Now we're looking on the basis of faith in Christ. So salvation extends out into our life. Okay? And it becomes on the basis of our faith in Christ that we will have this righteousness in Him. Right? So the righteousness is from God by faith. So it's on the basis of faith. You build upon this faith. Can you see this? This is the idea of by faith. So through faith, and then by means of. So basically this means, very similar to the Hebrews 11 idea. So in Hebrews 11, you have just what we call faith. Now, there is a slightly different word. What they do is, they just use the word piste, but is written in what we call the dative. Now, dative is basically by means of. Right? So, let's just turn to Hebrews 11. Remember, we studied Hebrews 11 a long time ago. Okay, and so in Hebrews 11, we read this idea of by faith, right? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken away. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So by faith. Now, so it's pretty significant because you look at by faith, all these people, you know, great heroes of the Old Testament. But when you talk about epipiste, this is a stronger word than the one in Hebrews 11. There's a stronger word that is being... This phrase here is actually a stronger... There's a stronger sense here that we want to be able to appreciate. It's on the basis of this faith. This faith that we have been given, that we have through salvation. Because of that, we can extend that salvation into life. A life of righteousness. And that's what we want to do. This is the kind of righteousness that God meant us to have. This righteousness that is connected to verse 10. Okay, before we go into verse 10, any questions? You follow what I'm trying to say? You all look a bit... You understand what I'm trying to say? This idea of... So in Christ... And then through faith, salvation. And through faith, you work on the idea of on the basis of faith. It is by faith, by means of this faith, that we can move on to live this life that we are meant to. If you don't have this, then you cannot have this. If you don't have salvation, then there's no way for you to do this. And even if you try everything, it becomes external, it becomes mechanical, and so on, because you never even dealt with this part first. Right? So we need to deal with this part first, and then with this, the salvation that is found, and then on the basis of this faith, and then we can truly be able to live out this righteousness. Okay? Anybody? Are we all clear? Raise questions so that you'll be able to. We're not going to do our classes, so I'm going to take my time. We're not going to our groups, not classes. Right? Think about this. How do we actually understand this? Clement, do you understand? You don't? Okay, then you never ask question. Yes.
So this righteousness from God is not imputed righteousness.
No, we start with imputed righteousness. So when you talk about salvation, it really has to do with righteousness that is imputed first. That is salvation. You are justified in Christ. Correct? So Romans 3:4-5 applies. Right? That is being justified in Christ. So we talk about salvation through faith in Christ. Right? But having found salvation, then we must be able to say, on the basis of this faith, we can find a greater sense of life and righteousness. So it does include imputed righteousness, but it's more than that. Okay, so we want to be able to... Yes, Clement, you wanted to ask something? Okay, any other questions? Right, so it's being able to, because if we don't get this right, then, you know, a lot of times we go to verse 10, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and so on and so forth. And then you ask yourself, how come I don't have all these things? How come I'm not knowing Christ as I should? I'll kind of explain this in a while. Why? And the reason is because we have not sought to understand this. You cannot work verse 10, actually, without verse 9. And we know Christ. We want to be able to know Christ. But you know, we have not understood what verse 9 is all about. And you try and work without our faith, you will realize that it's not coming out as what we should. Yeah, your turn.
Just to clarify my understanding,
yep.
In Philippians, say on the basis of faith is the fundamental of everything that stems from faith, while the by faith in Hebrews 11 is the application of faith.
Yes, correct. Yeah, so Hebrews 11, you're looking at all, you know, is by faith, you know, about life, about the challenges, about overcoming. So it's really by means of faith that you can fulfill all these things, you see. Here is this very similar idea. So it's also by means of faith, right? But what Paul does is this idea of epi. Epi is something that is on, upon. I give you an example. Pastor just taught this morning at the SSS 4. He told me to... So, teaching it, then he came out to me. You know, see, this is the epi idea. I say, okay, let's be happy about it. Okay, let's look at Romans 4. Okay, so in Romans 4, right, and you have the example in verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope belief. Now in the Greek, it means, right, who elpida, epi, lpd, epistusin. So what he's trying to say is that hope, belief. So it's hope upon hope. So what we're trying to say here is that it is upon this faith that you are able to then see it applied in a context of life. But if you don't have that kind of faith that we're meant to, then you try and build upon it on the basis of what? You can't. Can you see what I'm trying to say? So when you try and build upon that, you know, the kind of faith that Paul's writing about, and you see it as a basis of, then it is something that Paul is really trying to bring across, that I may know Christ. So I'm trying to link faith to verse 10. You cannot work with verse 10 alone. You want to be able to work faith in the context of verse 10. That means faith must be applied. So if we do not have the kind of faith that we are meant to have, then verse 10 is not going to go very far. We can say, okay, you know what, this is an important verse. This is a verse that, you know, we want to strive for. But you recognize that we are not able to go beyond a certain level because we have not worked with verse 9. It is connected. And it's on the basis of this faith that we seek. Let me give you an example. Let's look at verse 10. And it says that know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Right? So, receive salvation. Right? But there's this extension of salvation that Paul seeks for, to be totally identified with Christ. So because on the basis of this faith of mine in Christ, it drives me to one. There's this deep desire in wanting to be identified with him. And you know, verse 10 is really about identifying with him. Okay? But we are not having the kind of faith in Christ that seeks to want to be identified with him. That's why verse 10 will not go very far for you. Can you see the connection between faith, salvation? So upon this faith, Paul's salvation is something that he pursues further. He discovers further, and it is really about knowing Christ. So salvation is extended into knowing Christ. It is a kind of faith that we want to be able to have. Right? So, know him. Now, this is what we call a okay, this phrase here, that I may know him. There are two aspects to it. One has to do with what we call a verbal idea. Right? A verbal idea is really about it, you know, to know, right? But it's also, there is this idea of what we call a noun, which is having known. So one has to do with a verbal idea, which is, you know, that you want to know. And then there is a noun idea, which is you already known. Verbal, of course, is to know. My desire is really to know. It's an action that I'm seeking to carry out. And, you know, it's a very strong idea to want to be able to finally come to this point to have possessed that knowledge. So these two aspects are important, right? It is to know and to be known. Can you see this? This is what we call a articular infinitive. Don't worry about that. But, you know, it's just to show to you that these two aspects are important. Right? It is to know and, you know, from the standpoint of Christ, to be known by us. Right? And we want to be able, okay, you know, let's understand. So upon this faith, this faith of ours, right, that we have, upon this faith, and it's by this faith that I will seek to know the Lord and to be identified with Him. But if I do not have the kind of faith that I'm meant to have, then the whole process will be affected. Did you see what I'm trying to say? It's so important for us to understand this faith. That's why Paul was trying to emphasize, if I faith that is according to the law and righteousness that is according to the law, so that's what you see in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So if we apply the context of Matthew, you can see they will never be able to understand who Christ is because righteousness that is of the law. Right? Which is the disciples trying to, okay, how do we understand this faith? But yet at the same time, the disciples kept being rebuked by the Lord. Oh, your little faith. Where is your faith? How come you so little faith? See? Without that kind of faith, you'll never be able to go beyond a certain level. Until you come to Matthew 16 and suddenly, you know, Peter discovers, you are the Son of God. And then Jesus says, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. There you are. That is what faith is all about. But as long as you do not have the kind of faith that we're meant to have, and we have little faith, and our faith is weak, we will never be able to know Christ as we're meant to. Can you see the connection now? How this is so important?
Can I just clarify, so when you talk about, like, when you raise Peter's example, and how Jesus responded, I was just looking back at verse 9, right? So when you talk about by faith and epi tu piste, but before that, the from God, so ek teu, which is the genitive idea, so then does that also come into play where... in terms of the contrast.
Sorry, you're looking at which verse again?
Verse 9.
Okay, wait, just hold on. Huh? Okay, 3 verse 9. And which part again?
The last part, from God by faith.
Okay.
So it's ek teu that is being used, right? And teu here is a genitive idea.
Yep.
So it comes into play where, so I'm just trying to understand like the multiple aspects. So faith comes then is through Christ, which is the Christ. Yep.
That when you talk about, which is from God, so it's out of God, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Faith comes from God, right?
Yeah.
That's why Ephesians, in the context of Ephesians 2. Right? So Ephesians 2, you see this idea of salvation, right? Verse 8, for by faith through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Can you see this? So from God, up to God. But it is by faith. Right? So this is right. And you really want to be able to the righteousness which is from God by faith. So ultimately, all things come from God, right? We recognize that righteousness is from God, but it is on the basis of faith. And then from there, you see the extension of that salvation into verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. How do we find this power? Right? He talks about the resurrection. Okay? Now, so as we learn to grow this knowledge of Christ, right? The excellence of the knowledge of Christ, we pursue this knowledge, so there is a bond. You want to be able to appreciate, but ultimately, it's not just about knowledge. See, knowledge is never just about knowledge. Knowledge is about Christ. Ultimately, you must be able to say that what I've gained is not just knowledge. What you have gained is Christ. See the difference? If you are just gaining knowledge and you come every week and you're here to study the Lord's Word and you listen and you listen, but it's not part of you in terms of your understanding of who Christ is, then you're not gaining Christ, no? You're just gaining knowledge of Christ. But the ultimate point of all this is that what you have is that you have gained Christ. He is real to you. He's alive to you. He's there with you, that I may know Him. Right? So, in actual application of the faith, it is really to that knowledge of Christ. I apply into knowledge and to be able to apply it, because knowledge, I mean, who Christ is, right? Do we really believe in it? Am I applying my faith into that knowledge of Christ? And so, reading and, you know, trying to reason out and so on and so forth. But we got to make it so we can read, we can reason, but it must be real. If not, what's the point? If we just reason out, right, we can discuss and so on, which is important. But at the end of the day, it must be real in your life. Who is Christ to you at the end of the day? I live by what I, you know, when I taught Philippians 1 verse 21, for me to live is Christ. So all that I seek to do is about Christ. For Christ. Right? And that's to me something that is most important. And it's on the basis of, right? And then on the basis of faith, we seek to discover the power of His resurrection. Through knowing Christ, we also know His power. We see the resurrection in Christ, right? The word power is this word, dunamis. It's this dynamic power of God. Okay, it is a very distinct power. It is a divine power. And of course, this resurrection, there is no other power on this earth or anywhere else that can bring about this resurrection. There's no way. Nobody can bring about this resurrection. Right? Nobody. I mean, you, no matter how strong you are, Stephen, you know, he's very strong. He's a, you know, he's a powerful guy. You know, he rides the bike and right? He's... Right, but you are, can you raise, I mean, one small little end, you, okay, go and raise the end. Can you? Do you have the power to, it's just a small little end, what's the problem? Can you? You can't. Nobody has that kind of power. It is a divine kind of power, and only the Lord has that kind of power. And that is what Paul seeks to have, the power of the resurrection of Christ. And it is this power that on the basis of our faith that we can discover the power of His resurrection. This power is really meant for our life and ministry. It is what Christ seeks to give to us, what God gives to us. You know, this week has been a challenging week for me. You know, there are as much as, because next week we're going over to Perth and then we are beginning a new series of messages. And, you know, so I had a lot of work to do, but at the same time, I had to attend to certain personal issues in a family that concerns my parents and so on and so forth. And it's, you know, there are challenges. And it's not been easy, very honestly. There are times when there are days in which, you know, I have to think about and pray about, okay, how do we approach things, and so on and so forth. So there is, it can be burdensome at times when you have to deal with problems. Problems that come up again and again and again. But yet at the same time, you have, you know, the cares of the church and being able to fulfill the work that we are meant to do. Where are we going to find that power? Well, this is the power of the resurrection. If God can raise Christ from the dead, that power is meant for us to give our life immortality. Life, right? And I always like this idea of life that we are meant to have. Can we not discover this life? Right? Okay. And so this resurrection is something that we truly want to be able to discover so much more, and that we will be able to have this life. Okay? All right, any questions? Do you have this power? Do you have this power of the resurrection? Do you have this idea of the fellowship of his suffering? Right? So on how can we be identified with Christ? So we identify with Christ, we seek to know him so much more. We seek to identify with his resurrection that we will be able to have this power. We are identified with his suffering, right? And it says here that I may know his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, one thing leads to another. It is in Christ that you begin to discover, okay, through Christ, on the basis of Christ, and that we become identified with him, we will get to know him. We will not only know him, we will discover the power of his resurrection on the basis of this faith. And with that power, we will be in fellowship with him in his sufferings. Okay? So this idea of fellowship, koinonia, is, you know, the same, you know, it's a good word, right? Same word used in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. So Paul had this wonderful fellowship with the brethren. He, you know, Paul is very open about his love, his affections that he has for the Philippian church, the kind of fellowship that he had right from the very beginning until now. It's this same word that is used concerning Paul's fellowship with Christ and his suffering. Same word, mind you. Same word that he's using. It is like you are there with Christ and you are suffering together. Suffering with Christ. Right? You're going through it together. You're carrying that cross together with him. Right? Let's turn to Acts just for a while. In Acts 16, we see this. Right? When Paul went to Philippi, he had to go through all kinds of sufferings. Right? He went there through the Macedonian call, met this lady, Lydia, and then later on, because of this slave girl, he was put in prison. Right? He was brought before the magistrate, verse 20. This man being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us. Right? So they were commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What a faith that is being described here. Pastor was writing about this, right? And when I read this week, you know, my heart was lifted up. And I began to sing a favorite song of mine. You know, why should we be discouraged? Right? And his eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over me. For his eye is on the sparrow. You know, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. You know, that song was brought an uplift to my own heart. See, that's what faith is all about. When you have to go through different kinds of challenges and pains, right? Can we not find that faith that is on the basis of this faith that we are in fellowship in the sufferings of Christ? That no matter what kind of pain we will have to go through, we will do it in fellowship with Christ. It's on the basis of our faith that we can do this. We are identified with Christ. And I really enjoyed this. And this is what it means to have a song in the night. Right? So today is the first launch of a song in the night. Any of you sign up? Right? So none of you have. I did. Okay. But because I'm pastor, so yeah, I have that privilege. But, you know, why are we doing this? Well, because a lot of older folks, they are having difficulties. Right? In July, there was a report about suicide. The highest increase in terms of the rate of increase is among the elderly. Right? And, you know, and of course, there's so many needs in terms of those who are much older. They can't sleep. They're not at peace. There are all kinds of issues and problems, health issues, psychological issues, depression, and so on and so forth. Well, this is what it means to have a song in the night. Right there in the prison. I mean, what would you be doing right there in the prison? How to sleep? It's, you know, it's uncomfortable and so on and so forth. You know what? They sang. You know what they did? They sought after the Lord. They prayed. That's what faith is all about. Can we learn to do this? Can we learn to find the kind of faith that is on the basis of our faith that we will be able to be in fellowship with Christ? And I thought, wow, this is really wonderful. Let's turn to Philippians 1 verse 29. And we studied this not too long ago. Right? And it says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake." Can you see this? Not only to believe salvation, but to suffer through faith. But can you see this? And that's what it's all about. This is the kind of faith that we must have. This is the kind of faith that we want to be able to see ourselves being able to go beyond just salvation. To see that salvation being extended into our life, a life of righteousness, to know Christ, to tap on the power of his resurrection, to see ourselves being identified in fellowship with him, and then being conformed to his death. Wow, imagine that. Paul died for him. He is willing to go all be conformed. The word conform here is morph to. Not the M-O-T-H, okay? It's to... right? So it's in the Greek, is right? It's to... okay? So it's to be able to see how you actually conform, to morph into, right? And to be able to be conformed to his death. His identification with Christ is to the fullest extent. There is no holding back. See, it's when you have all these so-called gains in life, you're holding on to all these things. How is it possible for us to go to the fullest extent? You can't. You won't. You have no desire to, because you're still having all these things in your life, and they distract us. They hold us back. We're not willing to be able to say, you know what, I want to conform. To conform all the way, epitestai, by faith, you can do that. It is the willingness to conform to the Lord and His death to the fullest extent. And that is the kind of faith that we want to be able to have. But if our faith is weak, if our faith is little, if our faith is not what it's meant to be, then you know that we're never going to go beyond this level. And we keep struggling because we do not have the kind of faith that we can base it upon and to rise above and to see that salvation being extended also to its fullest extent. And ultimately in verse 11 it says, by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Of course, this is something that Paul sought after, the resurrection of the dead. Can you see what faith can do in your life? See, that's what reality is meant to be. This is what is meant to be real. That means when we go through the challenges of life, during this week, we had SOTL and we were talking about, you know, 1 Peter and, you know, that we seek to submit ourselves to masters, to those who are gentle, not only to those who are gentle, but to those who are harsh. I don't mean hush-hush kind of harsh. It's the kind of harshness that you have experienced. So sometimes bosses and all can be challenging, sure. It can be difficult. We recognize that. But you know, our focus is on Christ. As Christ suffered, we seek to suffer also, to be identified with Him. Is it possible? The answer is yes. But we want to be able to have this kind of faith on the basis of faith. Epitepistai. Think about this, right? Salvation by faith, but beyond salvation, the extending salvation, epitepistai, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. This is what faith is meant for us to fulfill. And I hope that is something for you to think about. That you go back and think this through. You know what? This, maybe my faith is not all that great. Maybe my faith has been so lacking that even if I want to try to know Christ, it doesn't go very far. You know, it really has to do with your faith. What is your faith like? What kind of faith do we have? Maybe we're not as strong and as powerful as we are meant to be. As we go through the challenges of life, you know, we struggle, we are not able to cope, we keep questioning, how come this, how come that? Life is such. I also go through my own fair share of problems. I'm not going to blame God or anything like that. This is the reality of life. It is what it is. But you know, at the same time, I learn to look to the Lord instead. My focus is on Christ instead. That is what we want to do. Rather than to look at ourselves and why? What's the point? Let's have the kind of faith that we can build upon on the basis of our faith, right? Let's be challenged by faith to truly be identified with Christ and to live out that life of righteousness, to extend that salvation on the basis of this faith, right? That we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Okay, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank You for this time that we can go deeper in our understanding of our faith. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to understand that it is only by faith that we can have salvation. That is on the basis of this faith that we can truly see salvation being extended further into our lives. That we can truly know the Lord Jesus Christ and to tap on the power of His resurrection and to be fully identified with Him in His suffering, in fellowship. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to take a good look and to evaluate our faith and really to be able to do something about it, that we, as we move ahead into our 46th year of ministry, that we will seek to grow our faith so much more, that we may be able to live our lives as we are meant to be and to serve you as you have called us to. We ask for your special blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, before we go down, let's take a bit of time to practice this song that we're going to sing at the Mid-Autumn Festival.